Welcome, everybody, and happy Thursday afternoon, one and all. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Boy, it's been a busy week of news. We've got some breaking news to start this afternoon's show. Tommy Thompson, former governor of Wisconsin from 1987 to 2001, said he is, quote, seriously considering joining the 2026 Republican primary for governor. Are you kidding me? Here's what he said to the Journal Sentinel and WTMJ. Quote, I am still looking at it, and I'm seriously looking at it. So that's what goes into it, but no decision has been made. But it's certainly something that is not too far removed from my brain. Okay. Earlier to the Journal Sentinel, he downplayed the idea, but noted he's in, quote, great shape. If elected, Thompson would be 85 years young, question mark, when he would take office in January 2027. I'm just going to say this, Republican or Democrat, I got to say, can we pass the freaking baton to the next generation? I think it's time. In other breaking local news, apparently the federal government is looking to lease a ton of square footage in downtown Milwaukee to house ICE-related law enforcement operations, but not specifically detainees. This was reported by the Milwaukee Business Journal. They have put out a solicitation. This is the U.S. General Services Administration. That's the federal government agency that's responsible for managing office and building space on behalf of the federal government. It requested proposals for between 11,500 and 18,500 square feet of fully furnished modern office space. Again, looking downtown, here's the interesting part. The solicitation was apparently published 2 weeks ago on, let's see here, September 16th. But responses were due a very short 27 hours later. Posted on the 16th, you had to get in your responses by 7:30 p.m. on September 17th. I'm sure there won't be any fraud, waste, and abuse when you're trying to lease space that quickly. Wow. Wanted to share some community news from the Green Bay area. This week, the Greater Green Bay Community Foundation is hosting an incredible fundraising event called Dancing with Our Stars. It fundraises for all sorts of nonprofits in that area. It is an incredible event. Lots of fun if you want to attend, if you want to donate. Again, go to the Greater Green Bay Community Foundation. There's links to all of the participants. Special shout out to my friend and yours, Dan Terrio. He's going to be one of the competitors this weekend in that incredible event, dancing his feet off in that event. Dan, if you've been listening to the show for a long time, joins me around Thanksgiving because he is a two-spirit person, a member of the LGBTQIA+ community, as well as a First Nation person. His tribe right here in Wisconsin. Dan will be joining me again this Thanksgiving season. So best of luck to Dan's fundraising and, of course, that incredible organization, the Greater Green Bay Community Foundation. You don't have plans this Saturday and you're in that area of the state, go check it out. It's going to be good fun and for many good causes. Dan specifically fundraising monies for the LGBTQ History Project here in Wisconsin. Again, best of luck to you, Dan, my friend. Look for Dan again around the Thanksgiving holiday for a special edition of the Maggie Dawn Show. Also, some national breaking news, or should I say international breaking news, within this past hour. Reporting by the New York Times is telling us this. President Trump has informed Congress that according to, well, I guess President Trump, that the United States is now in a formal, quote, armed conflict with drug cartels that his team has labeled terrorist organizations, and that Suspected smugglers for such groups are, quote, unlawful combatants. These terms, armed conflict and unlawful combatants, of course, have very specific legal meanings under the law of war. Again, this was a confidential notice that the president sent to Congress this week. The New York Times got a hold of it. This is reporting again just this afternoon. This notice was sent to a number of congressional committees. It was obtained by the New York Times. It adds these details to the administration's thinly articulated rationale in the past for why three U.S. military strikes were ordered by the president on boats in the Caribbean Sea last month, killing all 17 people aboard them. This would sort of be the fig leaf that you would use to say, well, we didn't commit murder. We're in an armed conflict. This is quite extraordinary. The New York Times quotes Jeffrey S. Korn, a retired judge advocate general lawyer, a JAG lawyer. These are military lawyers. He was formerly the Army's senior advisor for law of war issues. So this is the guy that would know something about these terms and what the law of war means. He said this to the New York Times: drug cartels were not engaged in, quote, hostilities, as that term is legally defined, and that is the standard for when there is a, quote, armed conflict for legal purposes. He said they're not engaged in hostilities because selling a dangerous product is different from an armed attack. Yeah, duh. Probably don't need a law degree to figure that one out. He went on to note this: it is illegal for the military to deliberately target civilians who are not directly participating in such hostilities, even if they are suspected criminals. Mr. Korn called the president's move an abuse that crossed a major legal line. Quote, this is not stretching the envelope. This is shredding it. This is tearing it apart. Quite extraordinary, folks. Remember us talking about the Bureau of Labor Statistics and this Trumpian, oh, I didn't like those terrible jobs numbers, so I'll fire the person that's in charge of the Bureau of Labor Statistics, install a lackey, and presumably start to massage those labor statistics so the Trump administration can just lie about how the economy is doing? Well, that lackey, unfortunately, is blowing up in the Trump administration's face. The White House has sent paperwork to the Senate to withdraw the nomination of E.J. Antoni as the head of the Bureau of Labor Statistics. This, according to CNN. The withdrawal comes after CNN reported earlier this month that Antoni operated a since-deleted Twitter account that featured sexually degrading attacks on Kamala Harris, derogatory remarks about gay people, conspiracy theories, and crude insults aimed at the critics of Trump. There was also reporting that Mr. Antoni may have been in attendance on January 6th. Yeah. Anybody sad to see him go? I'm not sad to see him go. That is quite interesting. And I think it is yet another example of when your criteria for appointing people to these critical government positions is loyalty, not credibility, and certainly not merit. That one blowing up in the Trump administration's face. We're going to dig a bit into what that means, how important the BLS is. In the 5 o'clock hour, we're going to be joined by Laura Dresser. She's the associate director of High Road Strategy Center, a labor economist. We're going to talk about the state of the workforce in the state of Wisconsin. So you're going to want to stick around for that. Speaking of jobs report, the most recent jobs report is bad, bad, and more bad. An anchor on CNBC called it, quote, very disappointing. Private sector jobs for September coming in at negative 32,000 when economists were looking for an addition, an increase in jobs of 51 to 54,000. August was also revised down sharply. Again, you know, this thing that Trump was complaining about that it was, you know, the head of the BLS's fault. No. August, again, revised down sharply. The month now showing negative 3,000 job losses compared to the initial read of plus 54,000. Yeah, that's not good, folks. That is not good at all. Again, we'll be joined by Laura Dresser at 5 o'clock to dig in more deeply into what that means here in the state of Wisconsin. Howard Lutnick was on a podcast, and he was asked a question about the Epstein files, and I wanted to share his answer with you because it's, well, weird and awkward. So just take a listen. Decide for yourself.
I mean, that's an incredible story that you could pick up that he was a pervert.
It's gross. The guy's gross. Right with my wife. He's gross. The guy's gross. This was not, the deep nuance of Howard Lutnick. This guy's gross.
Right. So how come Bill Gates and all these other people could hang around him and not see what you saw? Or did they see it and ignore it? Or
no, they participated.
Right.
That's what his MO was, you know, get a massage, get a massage. And what happened in that massage room, I assume, was on video. This guy was the greatest blackmailer ever. Blackmailed people. That's how he had money. So
what happened to those videos? Why is there now such a dearth of information when, you know, Donald Trump's people are running the FBI and the DOJ?
I assume way back when, they traded those videos in exchange for him getting that 18-month sentence, which allowed him to have visits and be out of jail. I mean, he's a serial sex offender. How could he get 18 months and be able to go to his office during the day and have visitors and stuff? It must have been a trade. So my assumption, I have no knowledge, but my assumption is there was a trade for the videos because there were people on those videos.
And have you talked to Donald Trump about this and shared your theory?
No, I mean, he knows the story.
Right.
But my story, that, you know, I was the one and done with the guy. Yeah. He knows that story, but that's it.
What? I just want to point this. First of all, he's basically saying that there's like comprobot about some of the nation's most powerful people. Then release the files. And here's the thing. If Howard Lutnick is just foaming at the mouth and spewing nonsense, do you think that's really a good thing for a cabinet level secretary of the federal government to be doing about something that has been the obsession of QAnon and the far right and the MAGA movement for a decade? You think it's a good idea to just, I don't know, speculate that there was some sort of horse trading of the videos of our nation's most powerful, wealthiest people for a lenient sentence? By the way, that sentence negotiated by the guy that Donald Trump eventually nominated to be a cabinet-level secretary. Gross. And just one other note here. Mike Johnson refuses to swear in the newliest, that's a new word, elected member of Congress who would be the 218th vote on the discharge position to force the Trump administration to release the files. Weird, huh? The headlines continue on the other side. I'm Maggie Dawn, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.